This afternoon, I'm speaking with Mr. Alfred Dyson, who was born in Massachusetts?
Yes.
In Westport?
I was born in Swansea, Mass.
In Swansea.
Somerset, Mass, right?
Somerset, yes. Mass. And who has done many, many things and associated with many interesting things, especially with labor unions. I'm Mary Giles, and I want to ask him a great many questions about his career. How long ago were you born in Somerset, or don't you want to tell your age?
Yes, I was born in Somerset in 1912. July the 28th.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to? How long did you stay in Somerset?
I stayed in Somerset until I started to go to school, and I moved to Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school and graduated from the Swansea Public School.
Mm-hmm.
And I then moved to Fall River and went to Herrick's Institute. I went 1 year to Durfee Technical High School.
Mm-hmm.
And then I attended night classes in Herrick's Institute and mm-hmm. the MC Durfee Night School.
Yes.
And then after I got married and grew up, I moved to Westport. So I've been to all the towns.
Yes. When did you come to Westport?
I come to Westport in about 1944.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived here ever since.
Mm-hmm. So, you have a family, I know, because I hear you were picking up the children before you came
well,
here.
Yeah, well, I have three children. I'm married and I have three children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We now have five grandchildren.
Grandchildren, so it was grandchildren five, you were picking up.
I have five grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. When you first came to Westport, what did you do?
I was working as a business agent for the textile workers union.
As a business agent. And then these unions here in, these textile mills here in Westport and Fall River, were they organized as labor unions?
Yes.
Were they?
All of the textile mills in Fall River were organized by the textile workers union. At one time we had 12,000 members.
Mm-hmm. And there were textile mills here in Westport.
Yes.
Did you? Were they organized?
They were not in business when I grew up.
When you grew up,
yeah.
When you came here, they were out of business.
They'd stopped. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that you didn't organize the mills here. They were just never organized, I gather.
I started as a weaver, started as a drop wire boy in the Berkshire Mill on Quarry Street, Plant C. Mm-hmm. I then went to the Arkwright, finished in the Arkwright cotton mill, and started picking up bobbins there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learned to weave on box looms, the old type box looms that make Marguerite curtains, which the women don't use any longer.
No.
And I became a weaver there. And so
that's fascinating. I wish you could tell us something. We have no weaver in any of the tapes. So I wish you could stop back and pause here just a moment to tell a little bit about your weaving.
Well, a weaver, of course, runs looms.
I know. I've done some weaving.
Right. And but this it's particular been type of goods that I was working on were called Marguerite curtains.
Mm-hmm.
They were curtains that had four shuttles on, anywhere from one to four shuttles.
They had little bumps, didn't they? They have little bumps in them?
Yeah, they would run back and forth
uh-huh.
across the loom.
Oh, yes, and they were...
And they would make a pattern for a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they were wove on the loom, they'd bring them down to the cloth room and run them on a shearing machine, which cut off all of the excess cotton that was in between where the pattern was.
Oh.
So you'd have a pattern that could be a Paul Parrot.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a ship, it could be most anything.
Mm-hmm.
But as a weaver, you had to know how to operate these looms so that when the loom broke or the threads broke and stopped,
mm-hmm.
you had to make sure you started up in the right place so that you wouldn't have a half a Paul Parrot or half a ship.
Yes.
And you had to be very careful.
And it really was quite a complicated operation.
It wasn't, yeah. It wasn't complicated for me because I learned on it.
Mm-hmm.
But many weavers who ran just plain cloth, you know, would run one shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
There was no pattern with it, so mm-hmm. it didn't make much difference to them.
No.
But I grew up and learned on that type of loom, so for me it wasn't hard.
You learned that in Fall River?
Yes, in the Arkwright finishing plant.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying Arkwright finishing. Arkwright cotton plant.
Arkwright.
That's located on the old Chase Mill on on Rodman Street today.
Mm-hmm.
No longer in business.
No. No. Most of those mills are all potato chip factories or something now, aren't they?
Well, I keep saying Arkwright Finishing because we organize the Arkwright Finishing, which is in the rear of the Arkwright Cotton Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still, that's still operating as a finishing plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How long did you, were you a weaver?
Well, I was a weaver in the mill until from 19... I started in the mill about 1932.
Mm-hmm.
Drop bar boy, that's about...
tell them about that. What
a drop bar boy is a boy who puts wires on the back, on each thread on the back of the harness of a loom. And that's used so that when that thread breaks, that wire drops down and stops the loom automatically.
That isn't like a heddle or anything.
No. That's mm-hmm. A heddle is on the top. Harness of the loom.
Yes.
Now, this is in the back. You put a wire on each thread,
mm-hmm.
and then when that thread breaks, the loom stops.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to find which one it is and start the loom up.
Start the loom up again.
So then when I went to the another mill, in the Arkwright, and learned, well, I was picking up bobbins, I learned to weave.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently asked the boss for a job and got a job weaving.
Mm-hmm. What size bobbin did you use? How big were they, in inches, maybe?
The bobbin itself was about an 8-inch bobbin.
Mm-hmm.
The shuttle, of course, was quite large.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe 14 inches.
Mm-hmm. I have some shuttles here, and I just wondered what they... I got them in an antique shop. People use them to put plants and things in now.
Right,
you know, they're kind of decorative accessories, but... I wondered whether you use shovels that size.
Well, at one time, in addition to making Margaret curtains, during the war we made a mosquito netting.
Oh, you did?
Which is very simple.
Yes, very simple.
The boys over in the area where they had the mosquitoes, where they had to use them to keep over at night.
Where'd you get your cotton?
The cotton came in from the southern, from the south, and was brought in.
It was brought in raw cotton.
Went into the picker room where they broke the cotton up, and then went into the card room where they put it into fibers.
They carded it.
And went from there to the spinning room.
Uh-huh.
And then they made either filling out of it or thread for warps.
Yes.
And then of course the warps were made in the slasher room, and then consequently came down the woods.
Yes.
And also for a while,
it's a very people don't realize how the complicated process
it is.
Very complicated. I'll tell you about them later, but there's some weaving I did about 45 years ago here in this room, which is falling to pieces, and I don't dare wash it because it would come to pieces if I did.
Right.
But I had 3 or 4 looms at one time and did a lot of experimental weaving with it. Now it wasn't in the factory. Where did you come from to Somerset?
Well, I was born in Somerset.
You were born, but before then, did you come from Europe, or did your family come from...
Well, my mother was born in Blackpool, England.
In England, that's what
and
I
my
wanted.
My father, his parents came originally from England, but he was born in the United States.
Uh-huh.
And I had a grandmother.
Where is Blackpool? I've been in England, but somehow or other I don't know where Blackpool is.
Well, I've never been there either. I couldn't tell you, but it's along the coast somewhere.
It's along the coast.
Yeah, towards Scotland, I believe.
Up north near Scotland.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of weaving up there.
He was a weaver. My mother was a weaver.
Your mother and father were both
weavers.
Mm-hmm.
He worked in the old, and she did, in the old ironworks mill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's when they used to walk from the Flint section of Fall River down to the ironworks mill and all kinds of weather and walk back,
I'd like to know a little bit more about that. Can you elaborate on that in any way? In cold weather and awful weather, they...
There was no transportation.
No transportation.
And we lived up what we call the Flint, which is the east end of the city.
Is that where the Flint Fish Market is?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived up there, and my mother and dad would walk to work from there to the ironworks, which was down... at the waterfront in Fall River, where these ships are now.
Mm-hmm. Down in the Battleship Cove
And they worked 12 hours a day and walked back. So they worked from 6 to 6.
No union then.
No union then. They worked 6 days a week besides that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a...
What did you work for when you were, let's say, in the mills? And what did they work for? Now, must have you got more than they did, I'm sure.
Well, I have a pay envelope home. And if I'd have known, I'd have brought the show yet. I have a pay envelope home now that, how I have it is my wife put some of my son's locks of hair when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And we were working a 48-hour weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And the pay envelope says $21 and some cents on it.
Mm-hmm. What year was that about?
1936.
1936,
yeah,
and 48
hours. Before the NRA came in, and then... it was before the NRA came mm-hmm. in. And then, of mm-hmm. course, those that when I was picking up bobbins, I was making $7.35 a week
mm-hmm.
for 48
hours. How old were you then?
I was 14.
14, as a child. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what do you suppose your parents earn?
What did they earn?
Mm-hmm.
In the iron works, they earned $5 and $5.50 a week as a weaver.
As a weaver. Yeah. And about what year might that have been?
Oh, that would be in the 1918, 1920 when mm-hmm. they were in the war.
Yeah. And they were in the war earning around $5 a week for how many hours?
48 hours.
48-hour week.
Prior to that, 60 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think this is interesting. Don't you think we need to have that record on tape?
Oh, sure.
I think so. Because now, I mean, when you get $5 for picking up a blade of grass or something,
yes,
practically. It's good to know.
Well, my parents, when we left Fort Irwin and moved into Swansea, my mother had, we had six children in the family. We had her mother living with us.
Mm-hmm.
So my father went to work in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making $21 a week supporting the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mother necessarily stopped looking for work.
Mm-hmm.
And she found a job in Swansea in one of our public schools,
mm-hmm.
and which I attended.
Mm-hmm.
I had four brothers and three mm-hmm. brothers and two sisters, mm-hmm. six of them. And she got the job as the custodian of this school, a mm-hmm. one-room schoolhouse mm-hmm. with one teacher with six grades in it.
Now, this is in Fall River.
No, this is in Swansea.
Swansea.
Six
okay.
grades,
one
teacher in one room.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd go up in the morning before school and make the fire,
mm-hmm.
and I'd go up with her, and I don't know how I get chilled, but I've had an older brother. I was a second older.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go up, and I would help her put the flag up, mm-hmm. Go to the next farm for water,
mm-hmm.
I'd get the fire going, and then I had permission from the teacher that during the day, while school was going on, and the fire started going low, I had permission to go up and throw some more coal on the old pot-belly stove. Mm-hmm. That's what we had, a pot-belly stove not tin, but a sheeting.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't blister the wall.
Yes.
But I would get up during the day and make that fire and keep it going
mm-hmm.
all day.
Mm-hmm. And about what year was this now? I'm just trying to, keep focusing on time.
This would be, if I can just check a moment, I graduated from the Swansea Public Schools in 1925.
Mm-hmm. And what grade were you in when you were?
That was the eighth grade.
Eighth grade. Eighth so grade. That before then,
so
four years before.
Back 8 years. I skipped one.
I see.
I skipped one grade. I went from second to fourth.
Uh-huh.
So this would be around 1918, 1919, 1920.
Mm-hmm. 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 How'd you like school?
I liked it very much,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we were able to go from fourth to, from third.
But how you were able to skip.
To fourth, we are.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they don't do it anymore today, but in those days, they skip a grade, And
like
you say, you had one teacher for the whole sixth grade going on, when you have two or one, four, the other three, the other
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is very interesting. Was it hard to unionized? Do you think it was very difficult to unionize the mills?
Well, how I got interested was I was working in the Arkwright Mill
mm-hmm.
when they had started an organizing drive trying to get all of the mills in.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined the union while I was there
mm-hmm.
in that mill. And then on my own time, I got interested and went around with the various groups of people. None of us got paid.
No, I know.
And talked to all the other people, and one by one, we got to, we organized them. They had a a strike way back before my time, mm-hmm. you know, when they were cutting wages.
Yes.
And we were working for, you know, for peanuts at that time. We had, I've told us to a lot of people today who forget what we had. You know,
yes.
I had three children growing
yes.
up, and I never had any insurance to pay for them.
No.
Never. I paid 1 cent for life insurance for myself.
Yes.
But I never had any medical benefits.
No.
All of my children were born on the $20 a week that I was in, and mm-hmm. we had to save the money to pay the hospital bill.
How much did you have to pay for rent now, about back then when you were earning $20 a week and had three children?
Oh, I can't quite remember. I would say around $4 a week.
For rent?
For rent, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you could go out. I remember going out on Fridays and meeting my wife downtown and buying $2 worth of groceries, which lasted us all week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the
so it's all relative.
Oh, yes.